Hi, my name is Janet McGillivray. I am here on Lenape Hoking territory in so-called New York State. And I am the founder and executive director of Seeding Sovereignty that was born at Standing Rock in the peaceful protection of the waters and the resistance to the Dakota Access Pipeline. And we have since then blossomed into a collective of indigenous women who are all working on the front lines of social justice issues.
Would you describe your efforts as multi-generational? And if so, can you explain the importance of this approach, especially for an Indigenous-led movement?
Absolutely. I think that many times, and I can use the analogy of a pipeline, the pipeline is a segment oftentimes that we read about, and rarely do we understand that that particular decision of a particular pipeline is actually going to be connected from one end to something else and the other end to something beyond that. There's a continuum that we have, just like our attention span, we've gotten into sound bites, right? We don't have the ability to see beyond the moment. We've been fed a culture of immediate gratification, and we want access to a sense of confidence that we can imbibe something and digest it and say we know it. There's an impatience to actually feel that we can control the information, and there's a narcissism in that in our culture. And when we don't actually relax into the question of, I may not know, or to be comfortable with the statement, I don't know, but someone else may, and may I learn from them? And so pipelines often are broken up into very small segments. They get pushed through a permitting system with no regard for the fact that they're going to be connected on either end to pipelines that will spread far, far beyond that moment. And I find that to be an analogy for how we look at decision making. Now, is this a cost-benefit analysis on an environmental question for now? Is this what our economy needs now? Is this what science says now? It relegates the question of future impacts to the lowest, level on the priority list. When we look to cultures that make decisions based on the knowledge that they have learned from their ancestors, and we think beyond the moment that we are currently living to consider each decision and the question of how will it impact those that come after me, we have to pause. We have to not be in that soundbite, habitual digesting of information and controlling of decision making. We have to surrender to the fact that we may not know the consequences of something, but shouldn't we consider everyone involved and the unknowns that we currently are looking at? So, multi-generational decision making or multi-generational stewardship is part of Indigenous culture. And by looking to those that have the young people and then also getting guidance from elders in the movements, we have a sense of the continuum. And the continuum is really much more in balance with the seasons of the planet and the cycles of history. And when you spread things out further over time, you necessarily involve different perspectives. You necessarily invite different kinds of questions. And so that kind of bending of time and surrender of the narcissism of our society to learn from those that have come before and hold a question of the unknown of what may yet come. We will act differently when we actually sit down together and try to come up with what may be best with our imperfect knowledge, but with time-tested knowledge from cultures that have stayed rooted, tied, respectful, balanced to the cycles of Mother Earth. So Indigenous knowledge and multi-generational decision-making and stewardship is incredibly important, and it's counter to most every form of decision making that is done today.
On your website, it says that your organization seeks to replace colonial institutions with indigenous practices created in synchronicity with the land. What does this mean for a practice to be in synchronicity with the land?
Right. It is a different practice, first of all. It's not seeking to dominate the land. It's not seeking to exploit the land. It's not seeking to appropriate the land. It's not seeking to monetize the land. Our systems are extractive. Our systems in place right now, capitalism and forms of decision making, are oppressive and seek to control large numbers of peoples for the benefit of very few. And monetizing everyone and everything along the way so that there can be an end goal of surplus that will benefit those that have been the ones doing the extracting. We look at our agriculture system, which is really a form of colonization of lands and wild places, and the imposition of tremendous burdens on the land, on the different animal species, on the planet, with the complete pollution and desecration of the waterways. Our food system is not in balance with the land. It is a form of industrial colonization that has gotten away from an equitable, reciprocal exchange between what Mother Earth offers us and what sustains us. So we're looking to the systems that are in place now that are supported by this, the other systems that buttress them. And during COVID, we really had a moment to collectively acknowledge that many things are not working, that the systems that we believe in are held up by a very fragile structure, mostly motivated by racism and economic oppression and the forms of genocide. And when all of us were told that there were guidelines to follow to keep ourselves safe, so many people could not reach that threshold of protection. And the assumptions that we hold that everybody can have access to running water and PPE and healthy food in order to self-quarantine also assumes that those places are safe, that quarantining is actually safe in the place they are. The assumptions, the underlying assumptions that we allow to be perpetuated to not take action against the wrongs that we know exist, were pretty much exposed. And I'm very thankful in a lot of ways that people started to question, who is an essential worker? We really depend on those that run our cities, right? And we depend on those that are in the hospitals. We depend on the garbage collectors. We depend on the food producers and the stores. These are the people that are really the heroes. And yet our system does not reward them. Our system rewards those that use their labor as essentially indentured labor, slave labor. And, you know, that system churns on over cycles of history. And now we're looking at it and questioning, perhaps, is this really the way we want to live? Is this a just society? I can see very clearly there are people that are struggling way beyond what I had assumed. And so these forms of racism and speciesism even are getting exposed during COVID. And what we're trying to do is look at food systems, energy systems, community systems, wellness systems, justice systems that are much more informed by nature, informed by a regenerative philosophy, that are not a taking for surplus, but are really with intention for sustainability. What do we need ultimately to thrive? And who can we learn that from? And who better to learn that from than Indigenous peoples that can steward the land more effectively and with an integrity that will carry us beyond these moments, these soundbite moments of tremendous greed. So we're trying to look at systems that have not felt available, but have been available all along, and trying to exchange the systems of oppression that we currently live in terms of our quote unquote society, and suggest that there can be better ways. There are different life ways. There are different people to learn from. We can all thrive more equitably but we have to change the way we're doing quote unquote business, because we're all going to suffer, and the pain that people will go through over the next years with climate change and the violence that we're seeing to both our people and the land. We have a decision to make. We have a moment of that decision. We saw what happened when the world quieted during COVID, how nature regenerated, how the skies became clearer, how waterways flowed less polluted. Imagine the healing time if we could perpetuate that just a little bit longer and re-enter some version of society post-COVID, or however we envision what may come next, but with the mindset to that rebalanced, healthier way of both community and planet.